got to do. I was so happy. I got to see so much wildlife while we were there. I'm not sure what slides we have come up. We are at the family farm, so I think we have a picture of the farm at sunset. Oh, there's our picture of the farm at sunset. But that's from the front deck of our house there at the farm. So just some beautiful scenery that we got to take. We got to see just from our deck. Ethan, calm down. And Randy too. We have this whole huge family of turkeys that are hanging out. There they are. They're like roosting up on these brown bales. They just hang out. There's a tom, two hens, and I had to look up what they're called. 16. We counted them one morning. 16 poults. They just like strut up and down the road. There's a road that runs in between the house and the field across the road there. We looked out the window by the living room. They're just walking by one morning, like a wave of feathers, saying hi. They just kind of hang out there. It's like the whole farm is theirs. One of the neighbors asked last year and said, "Can we please hunt on your land? Because they won't come to our farm." We call them and everything. They hang out because nobody hunted there last year. Kathy Taylor, who we've been praying for, her husband usually hunts there. He knows all the property, knows it well. He hunts with a bow and arrow, and he didn't hunt last year because of Kathy's cancer. He stayed really close to her. So I think the family has grown in abundance. Allegedly, we have coyotes. If we do, I'm not sure what they're eating, but they're not eating turkey. So anyway, but we have those guys. We've had mega deer over there. I forget, what was the biggest number of deer you counted, Chris? 22 of them. Lots of fawns, does. I didn't see any bucks, but they were far off in the far corner of the field. About every morning, all but two mornings, I walk along the Ohio River, drive about 8 miles into town. Oh, the cows. I can't forget the cows. We had our neighbor cows that would come and visit. We leased the, 98 acres of the farm to a neighboring farmer, and they have their Hereford cattle there that kind of hang out, so we got to see the cows. Who Baxter thinks are just weird big dogs, and he was going to kill them every day. That was an interesting experience. But we would also go, well, I would go every morning. Chris only went one morning with me. To walk along the Ohio River. I set him up really good, though. There's benches there in shade. I got him a breakfast sandwich and the morning paper, and he got to sit. I think it was the locals, though, that kind of scared him off a little bit. When you move away from there and go back, it's a little different. And Chris will be like, "What's going on here?" It is a little different place. It's on the Ohio River. It's Ohio, and right across the river on the far side is West Virginia. And we always joke you should have a passport to go back. I mean, because it's just a wee bit different. In fact, one of my friends said it's Meigs County, Ohio, M-E-I-G-S, and he coined it as Mexico. So when you go back, you're going to Mexico. So it's a little different. So we walk along, and you can see there's a little guy kayaking out there in the river, too. He was fishing that morning when I went. So I don't know what's my next picture, Peg? I can't remember what my next picture
Wild
is.
Wild Jovi.
Oh, okay. So while I was back to visit, I got to see my best friend. My best friend ever. This is why I'm wearing the t-shirt. You guys probably thought I ran out of laundry. Didn't have time to think about that. What is she wearing? But when I was growing up in school, my best friend Kim, and if you are friends with me on Facebook, you saw our picture. We have been friends since the 7th grade. I'm not saying how long ago that was. Yeah. So Kim and I were Bon Jovi fanatics. We might still be just a little bit. Tammy, you get me, don't you, girl?
I got it, girl.
You get it? Okay. So we love Bon Jovi. Kim and I have been through, like, everything. Proms, homecomings, boyfriends, breakups, all of it. We have been through it all. She's been by my side. She was my matron of honor when I married Pastor Hubs. She was there after we adopted the girls. We have just been through everything. She was one of the first people to call me after my mother's body was found, after she had died. We've just been through everything together. So we got to see each other. We haven't seen one another for years. And we got to see each other in person. And we talked, yes. But we hadn't seen each other in person. So we met for dinner. I got to meet her fiance. But she first thing she does is warns the server, "This is going to take a while, but we took a while." And she says, "And there's going to be a lot of cackling, so, you know, be careful who you sit next to." But it's going to be a while. But you would never know we had seen each other for a while because we have that kind of friendship that we just clicked and we had a great, great time. So since junior high, we have had an infatuation with one band and one lead singer, and that would be the man, Jon Bon Jovi himself. In 2013, because I remember the fan club, I got a teaser for a special promotion. They were going on tour where they could meet Jon Bon Jovi if you're staying with them. So I went to Pastor Hubs and said, you know, this is like a real bucket list item for me. I would totally love to do it. But I don't really want to do it with you. I mean, he's gone to some Bon Jovi concerts and he tolerates it. He's not up there. Kind of like, I figure like Randy Weaver would do it. He would do anything. There, you know, Kevin would probably go. Be like, yeah, put a bag on it. But I mean, I want to go with this. I want to go. I told Chris, I really want to go, and I want to thank him. So he gives a nod to the bucket list thing, and before long, Kim and I were wheels up to Las Vegas, because that's where this trip was. It was to Las Vegas. So we were 3 days to Las Vegas. So it was awesome. We had the best BFF girls trip. And a side note, we met two other groups of two girls that had been friends back to junior high school. And each of those groups also had a Kim in it. So we decided that to have a quality BFF group that as a Bon Jovi fan, there must be a Kim in the mix. So the day of our concert arrived, and that was the day we were going to meet him. And they lined us all up, and they gave us our marching instructions. And they said, you're going to go in, you're going to see him, you will not touch him, you will not, in any situation, hug him, you will not shake hands with him, you will stand in your ex, you will smile at your church, and you will leave. Do not touch Jon Bon Jovi. Really. Okay, so we're in line, we're getting closer. Well, apparently Jon Bon Jovi hadn't gotten a memo, because he's reaching out, he's shaking everybody's hand, he's hugging people, and if you look at that, yeah, he has his arms around us. Yes, he does. So he shook our hands, told us how cool our shirts were. And he wanted to know if we made them. And we're like, no. Mr. Jon Bon Jovi, sir. So we got our pictures taken, and then they ushered us to a stairwell, and the door closed. And I want you to know that we managed to keep our composure until that door shut. Yes, we did. We kept it together until then, and then we lost it. We were back in seventh grade again. Like, the coolest boy in school had touched our hand, and we were never going to watch it again! And then COVID hit, and I had to wash my hand. So, anyway, we made it. We held it together, and that is our picture with Jon Bon Jovi. And I flash it anytime it's in my office. It hurts, though, sometimes, because there are younger people that come in and they say, who's that? And I'm like, oh, that's my friend Kim. And then they're like, the guy in the middle, who is that? And I'm like, oh. And I realize they weren't raised right by their parents. So, anyway, we had that picture, and it was wonderful. And then, a little bit later, this is what John starts to look like. That's what we did to him. He turned gray. We were rough on Jon Bon Jovi. So why would I take this whole part of the first section of this sermon to talk about my experience in meeting Jon Bon Jovi other than it was really cool and I love to tell the story? Well, the reason is that it's twofold for the scripture that we're going to read today. First, it's about meeting somebody famous. And second, it's about relationships. So a couple of popular contemporary Christian songs that I listen to while I walk feature the story of Zacchaeus. I am making dreads day to day. I know I am because I'm talking about Jon Bon Jovi and I'm talking about Zacchaeus. I know from talking to Dread in the past, she loves the story of Zacchaeus. Am I right? Okay. This is Dread a Day at church. So, but these two songs are I Don't Want to Miss It by Ellie Holcomb and When the God Man Passes By Casting Crowns. And I just really feel that God has been placing on my heart that we need to talk a little bit about Zacchaeus and about what this encounter means. Now, usually when someone talks to you about the story of Zacchaeus, it's about how Jesus came here for everyone, right? That's what we usually talk about. But God has laid on my heart there's another part of this story. So that's what we're going to work on today. And it's about how Zacchaeus had a life-changing encounter after he met Jesus. So let's pray for a moment, and then we're going to go to prayer. Father, we just thank you for bringing us all together today. God, I ask that you be with me, that your word is what comes through and not mine. Father, just let us all tune into your word, to your message today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together. All right, so we're going to be in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector and was wealthy. See, this is not like the scripture I'm typing right now. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig to see Jesus, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up to him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people who saw this began to mutter, "He has gone with the guest of the sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost." May God bless the reading of his word. So we have Zacchaeus, who's about to meet someone famous. Has many of you ever met anyone famous? Anybody? 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 Other than? Okay. Haley, who have you met?
Well, she's a singer and capable.
Okay. A singer. Pastor Hope, you're just sitting back there. You've met someone famous. Who'd you meet?
Oh, I've met you.
Yeah. Okay. You met our right hand that shook John Rodriguez's hand.
President Bush, President Clinton, President.
You've met some presidents. Okay. So when you go to something like that, there's usually a pretty big crowd, right?
Yeah.
And it's a pretty big deal, isn't it? There's a lot of people there. It's a big mess, and it's a little bit crazed. So let's think a little bit about what this scene must have looked like. So if you look back in the book of Luke, just back one more chapter, chapter 18, Jesus had just healed a blind man on the outskirts of Jericho. And this had caused quite a stir. The blind man had been sitting on the side of the road and asked Jesus to heal him because he wanted to see. Well, if you're blind, it's probably what you want, right? So Jesus ordered that the man be brought to him. He healed him, and the man immediately began to follow Jesus. So this miracle preceded Jesus into Jericho. And there can be no doubt that that occurred. People were massed to see Jesus, to see this man who had just healed a blind man. They wanted to see the kind of person who could do such a thing. They wanted to see the kind of person who could do such a miracle. And maybe some of them wanted to be healed themselves. This wasn't just some kind of rock and roll star. This was a holy man, a healer, a miracle worker. And you just don't see that every day. So Zacchaeus had no doubt heard about this, and he wanted to see Jesus. But Zacchaeus had a couple problems. He was short. He couldn't probably see over the crowds, because as the Sunday school song teaches us, Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he, right? That's even in the scripture that he was short. Second, Zacchaeus had another problem. Sorry, Joyce. He was tax collector. So to quote Stephen Cole, "If you had taken a poll in Israel in Jesus' day, you would have found that tax collectors were not popular fellows." Again, I'm sorry, boys. We don't think this of you. We love you. They were the scum of the earth. I think that Little Rascals reboot, you know, "Dear Darla, you are the scum between my toes," that kind of thing. They were the scum of the earth. For personal gain, they served Rome, taking unfair advantage of their own countrymen. Zacchaeus was not just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector, which made people despise the man all the more. The average tax-paying citizen would have said, "If I could get that little runt alone in a dark alley and he lived through it, he would go into another occupation." But since Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, he was a rich man, and he was likely rich because he not only collected the taxes for Rome, but he also took a little extra for himself, and Rome didn't really care about this. And this was a customary practice for tax collectors during that time, because since they were collecting taxes for Rome, everybody kind of hated them. using money from their own countrymen, their own people, to give over to Rome. Their position, the tax collector's position, was if they didn't take the tax collector position, somebody else would. So they might as well do it and be a little better off for it. So because of this, they were often isolated and despised, so they took a little extra money for their troubles. So Pastor Hubs and I have been watching the series The Chosen. Anybody else here been watching that? Yeah? It's pretty good, isn't it? So we've really enjoyed it. I especially like the fact that the creators, directors, and writers at the very beginning, you ladies noticed this, they say they've taken some creative liberties with the stories. They say that right in there. But they tell you, if you want to know the real story, go to the source, go to the gospel and read it. And I love that because you don't see that very often when you see anything from the Bible that Hollywood does. Like Noah's Ark, that was something else. I remember watching that, looking at Pastor Hope and said, did I miss the section about the giants? I remember seeing the giants in the Bible. But anyway, there was no warning at the beginning of that. But even the creative liberties that they've taken have been for character development because, you know, the apostles really didn't get into a lot of character development. They didn't do that. But here they do into The Chosen. And one of the characters that they get into is Matthew, the tax collector. And when they get into this a little bit, they show how Matthew had a really rough life before he became a follower of Jesus. He was ostracized by the entire community and even his family. Yeah, he was wealthy. He had a lot, but he had no friends and he had no family. Even the Romans were kind of cruel to him. So it's probably very likely that this is the life that Zacchaeus led as well. Only his was probably worse because he was the chief tax collector. One source that I read to prepare for today says that history even continues to be cruel to Zacchaeus because our Sunday school songs emasculate him by calling him the wee little man, the wee little man was he. So we just keep doing that over and over to poor Zacchaeus. So curiosity got the best of me, so I wondered what the average height of somebody was during that time. So the closest I could find was in 30 AD, the average person was between 5'2 and 5'4. Taking that into account, he was probably shorter than 5 feet. So he was shorter than me, so I guess he was. I feel pretty short, so I guess he was pretty short. So Zacchaeus likely did not want to be in the crowd. After all, if you're in the crowd, things accidentally often happen. You get stepped on, trampled, elbowed. I mean, that accidentally happens. And if you're in the crowd and you're going to be the chief tax collector, things accidentally on purpose might happen. So Zacchaeus didn't want to do that, but he wanted to see. So he shimmied up into that tree to get a good peek at Jesus. But Jesus had other ideas, didn't he? Verse 5 tells us that when Jesus reached the spot being the spot where Zacchaeus was up in the tree, peeking down. Actually, Zacchaeus looks a little tall in that picture, doesn't he? Jesus called out to him. He says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I kind of like that. Not only does Jesus call out to him, but he says, yeah, I'm coming to your house. I'm coming over. So Zacchaeus comes down and welcomes Jesus gladly. So Jesus already knew him by name, called him by name, and Zacchaeus comes out of that tree. So, as I said, Jesus invites him over, but let's think of all that we know about Jesus. That doesn't mean that just Jesus and Zacchaeus went. We know that means that Jesus and his entire entourage went, right? All those disciples, everybody went over. So, Zacchaeus was taking everyone. So, let's also take a little look about what we know from just these few words. Zacchaeus was happy to have a peekaboo relationship with Jesus. Arwen, you know peekaboo, right? You know how to play peekaboo, right? Yeah, you do. She's like, oh, there she goes, peekaboo. You got it. That is exactly what Zacchaeus was happy to do. He just wanted to be in that tree and play peekaboo with Jesus. He was good with all of that. But Jesus wanted more. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name and told him to get out of the tree and come down to him face to face. And invited himself to Zacchaeus' home. And he did this in front of everyone. And number two, Zacchaeus accepted because he was in, all in. Once Jesus called his name, that's all he needed. He wanted a close encounter of the Jesus coming all along, and he didn't even know it. And because Zacchaeus had that close encounter, his entire life changed. Boy, the people weren't very happy about it, were they? They said he being Jesus, has gone to be the guest of a sinner. And at that very moment when they uttered those words, Zacchaeus came clean. He gives immediately, right then, half of everything he has to the poor. And he goes on to say, if I've cheated anyone, I'm going to give them four times the amount that I've cheated to them in reparations. Zacchaeus had complete conversion. Now let's look at that in contrast to the ruler that Jesus encountered back in Luke chapter 18, verses 18 through 27. Jesus told this ruler that even though the ruler had kept all of the commandments his entire life, there was one more thing he had to do. He had to give away everything he had to the poor and then follow Jesus, and then he could enter the gates of heaven. But the scriptures tell us the ruler was sad. He was sad he had to give away everything he had because he was very wealthy. And that's when Jesus said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. But because Zacchaeus had this close encounter of the Jesus kind, his heart changed. He got out of his perch, he got out of his safety zone, and he got up and close and personal with Jesus. You see, Jesus was making it clear that the old was gone. He came here and the old was going to go away. Isaiah 59:2 states, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. And Jesus was making clear that this separation was gone. It was no more. And he was about to prove it for all of history to see. He was about to fulfill prophecy and become the very reason that he left heaven to come to earth. He was moments from giving his life for all of us, so that we can be and live in the presence of the Father, free of sin. You see, that's what a close encounter of the Jesus kind will do for you. Now, let's talk a little bit about the differences between my close encounter, the John Bon Jovi kind, and my close encounter of the Jesus kind, right? My John Bon Jovi moment, that was a once-in-a-lifetime moment. I keep getting emails telling me I can go have some more of them. But that was a once-in-a-lifetime moment. My close encounters with the Jesus kind, those are every day, multiple times a day, if I'll just get out of my tree. How about it? You guys getting out of your tree? You stuck up in them. Number two, Jesus wants to be there in your joys, your sorrows, your trials. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to fight for you when you can't fight for yourself. When you don't know what to do, or you can't do it, Jesus wants to do that for you. Now, although John Bon Jovi's a philanthropist, and I give him props for that, he has his soul kitchen where you come in and you can't pay to eat, you eat anyway. He has housing developments in Philadelphia where he provides housing for lots and lots of people. I can't call John up and ask him to take care of my needs because that's not who he is. But that is who Jesus is if I just get out of my tree. And lastly, I had to pay for my close encounter with John Bon Jovi kind. We're not going to talk about how much that was. But I had to pay for that. You don't just get to go because you're good at it. You had to pay for that. Jesus paid for my close encounter of the Jesus kind. Jesus paid for that. You can have a close relationship with God, with Jesus right now. You don't have to play peekaboo. You can, without hesitation, approach, ask, praise, and just commune with your Lord. Are you doing it, or are you stuck in your tree? Are you satisfied with just catching a glimpse of him every now and then? Are you just too busy to be close? Do you have enough time to be on Facebook? Do you have enough time to watch television, you have enough time to do all of those other things, but just not enough time to get out of your tree and have a close encounter with Jesus coming. What would have happened to Zacchaeus if he had stayed in that tree? Well, sure, he'd have had a good peek at Jesus, but that's not what he needed. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came here to suffer, bleed, die, and rise on the third day so we could have a close encounter with him every day and multiple times a day. And why would we settle for less? You know from your relationships with friends and family that you get out of those relationships what you put into them. And my relationship with Jesus is not like my relationship with John Bon Jovi. I can't go talk to John Bon Jovi multiple times a day or even walk with him or anything like that because I think that would promote a restraining order. Maybe even a little jail sentence. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus wants you to have that close encounter with him. Don't have a peek-a-boo relationship with God. He wants more from you and he will give you more in return. Now, for some reason, my husband decided he's going to play a peek-a-boo with me in the back corner here. But it's at this portion of the service that I turn everything over to him because I believe we're going to go for a prayer and communion. Correct, Pastor Hubs?
We're
going to
sing a song.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. There is a song coming up, and then Pastor Hubs will be taking over, correct? All right. So, the whole of it. Next week, you're going to have the Gideons are coming, as we were saying with the deacons. The Gideons are coming. So get ready for that next week. The week after that, I will be back, and we're going to talk about another close encounter of the Jesus kind that was talked about in Scripture. And it's I call it more of a ninja attack. So we have the peekaboo with Jesus and a ninja sneak attack, which you can imagine you can't do that with Jesus. So that will be what's coming up later on. So there's a second part to the close encounters of the Jesus kind. All right, so Peg, what is our song?
We have a song. In the garden.
In the garden.
There we go.
Have a close encounter right there.
I come to the garden while the dew is still on the roses and the voice I birds touch their sleep. none other has ever.